Chop Talk is brought to you by the Kosho School of Karate's premium martial arts training equipment. Frustrated with the low quality of the big manufacturers, the hassle and expense of custom-made equipment, or the months-long delivery times offered by the Japanese brands, if your order ever arrives at all? Kosho offers makiwara, iron sandals, specialty punching bags, and other premium martial arts training equipment, all at great prices and great delivery times. Kosho equipment is guaranteed to be high quality and heavy duty, exactly what serious traditional martial artists demand. Contact the Kosho School of Karate for more information. Go to www.koshoequip.com or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. Kosho, premium martial arts training equipment for the serious martial artist. Hey everybody, welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. Wherever you listen to the show, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. A lot of people have been finding us through the Podbean app recently, and to all those new Australian listeners, I'd like to say, g'day. Be sure to check out photos from this week's show on the Chop Talk Facebook page. Also, Chop Talk is now on Twitter, so follow us for news on upcoming shows, training tips, and more. Ezra Scott from James McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, is back this week to discuss a big topic in martial arts. Does karate have a fitness problem? Ezra and I share our thoughts on the subject and also share a few tips to help people go in the right direction. For those of you out there who are friends with Victor Moore or enjoyed our interview with him, I have a little bad news. One of his family members got in a bit of legal trouble, which has put Sensei Moore in a bit of financial trouble, and this has unfortunately delayed his scheduled hip replacements. That's really all I want to get into on the show, but if anyone wants more info or is interested in helping out, please contact Sensei Moore directly at 910-655-4560. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hello, Nate.
Ezra, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's happening, man?
With the shows recently, we've had some really well-known instructors. We've had some authors. I also have a few more that are booked for the upcoming weeks. But when I'm talking to those guys, basically I get to hear what they have to say. And, I have some thoughts on a few things, Ezra, and I wanted to run them by you and kind of work these out. So here's what's been on my mind. So everybody starts off the martial arts thinking that they're going to look like Bruce Lee. And and then they wind up looking like Steven Seagal. So my question is, does karate have a fitness problem?
Yeah, it's quite a topic. I've been thinking about that too of late, and it's definitely one that you have to unpack, as yeah. they like to say on the podcast.
Yeah,
because it's a broad problem. You know, and part of what makes it so broad is something that we've talked about on here before, which is that no pun intended, broad. But part of what makes it complicated is what a diverse thing karate itself is.
Yeah.
You know, because you think about other martial arts that are more sort of like combat sport martial arts, like let's just say like judo and competition karate.
Okay.
In like the Olympics, say. Well, neither one of those has much problem with that because they really just are sports. You know, with judo, you're just competing in judo.
Yeah.
With competition karate, you're competing in kumite or kata if it's of the Olympic type, because most of those athletes don't even do both. They just do one or the other because it's such a high level of competition. They focus only on that.
Sure.
And you're not going to have much of a problem with weight in that because, A, most people are young enough to compete in that or fit enough, you know, if they're older. And
right.
then, you know, they're probably going to basically just like a practice, you know, 4 to 5 days a week
right.
for hours, you know, and they're doing you know, a lot of what they're doing is stuff you would do at soccer practice, you know, running ladder footwork drills, cones, right. And
a lot of calisthenics.
You're gonna have a hard time getting fat doing that, you know.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Ezra. You know, but you know, a lot of the people, you know, you're talking now about judo and the competition karate, but a lot of the, you know, karate's not in the Olympics. It's a demonstration sport coming up, but it's a little bit different. But karate, as it was practiced, you know, like I was talking with Victor Moore about in the 60s and 70s, the people in that competition trained like professional athletes.
Yes.
But at a certain point, just like a football player, they can't train to that level. You can't stay in that amount of shape into your 50s and 60s and 70s. But a lot of those guys have, and a lot of those, I'm just going to say it, a lot of those guys have really let themselves go. Now,
sure. Yeah.
with football or boxing, It doesn't matter. You know, who cares if Mike Dick is carrying around an extra 50 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Buster Douglas, I don't know what he looks like now, but it's probably not what he looked like in his fighting shape. But they're not expected to. They're not expected to perform it at a high level. With karate, I think there's an expectation, you tell me, fairly or unfairly, that the senior people, the instructors, the higher level people are expected to perform. They're expected to be the toughest guy in the school, no matter how old they are. If they're 70, if they're 80, if they're rolling up on 90, they're supposed to be able to kick your ass. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay, so I have some thoughts about that. Let's unpack that.
All right.
There's different ways of practicing karate. So we talked about competition karate, and of course there's all different grades in between doing like that Olympic type competition karate and then maybe doing more like, you know, what the kind of stuff we've been involved with, like Midwest type point karate tournaments, like open, quote unquote, open tournaments, stuff like that, which is a kind of a little bit more in the middle between, you know, classical or traditional karate and that Olympic type karate,
right.
You know,
right.
But if you're practicing karate as it is practiced, you know, like in Okinawa, where there's not really so much of a competition element in most dojos, and it's something that you're doing for life, a lot of those teachers you really do see have this incredible longevity in the martial arts, and they really are actually able to do things with their bodies that their juniors cannot do, particularly
absolutely. So let me,
so much as the way that they move, right?
Absolutely. But those guys, hold on, time out, stop. Okay, hold on. So absolutely, don't lose your train of thought, but I want to jump in here. There's guys over there that were in their 70s and 80s that were doing things physically that I couldn't even imagine doing. I mean, it was incredible what these older guys were able to do. And a lot of them didn't care about competition at all. And they were running kata, they're doing their training, and they said, we don't do our katas for show. But all these guys were in really good shape.
Yeah, so that was all I was going to say is,
okay,
I think that it's one of these things where karate has a lot of different faces. And most of those different faces, not all of them, but most of the different faces have something, you know, profound to offer us, right?
Right.
And I think it's safe to say that participating in high-level competition, especially, you know, combat sport where you're, like, really going after each other, it has something to offer. And people who do stuff like that are going to be really banged up, particularly the guys in the generation before us, like, you know, people like Sensei Moore, Sensei Yarnell, Master Keppel, you know, all these guys, they're going to be pretty banged up because of doing all this stuff. Because unlike those guys, they were out there training like pro athletes of the 1960s,
right.
Which, you know, there was a lot they didn't know back then, too, also about how to take care of their bodies.
Yeah.
But they were just going after it, and they were training, you know, competing really hard. I mean, I've heard stories about, like, Parker Shelton going to 4 karate tournaments in 1 weekend.
Yeah.
Like, things that just seem like impossible. And every one of those tournaments, you know, they're sweeping the back leg out. They're hitting each other in the head real hard, kicking each other, doing all this stuff. So I think that it's, to some extent, we have to be just, you know, look at it clear with a clear view. Sorry, timer's going off my stove. With a clear perception of what's going on. You know, we can't hold, you know, a guy like Parker Shelton to the same standard physically at 80 years old that we can hold a guy, you know, like Yoshio Kuba or, you know, one of these guys.
Okay.
Because it's just a different thing, you know. But I
all
guess,
right.
Yeah, okay, so I don't know. What do you, take it. What do you think?
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, I'm not saying every Okinawan is in fantastic shape, because there's a lot of guys over there that lived hard and were in the full contact tournaments. So I met some guys
sure.
over there that were banged up and let themselves go. So, you know, I'm not saying one side is right and the other side is wrong. But, yeah, I agree that if people have physical issues, they've been hurt, they've been banged up, you can't expect them to be in top shape at that age. But here's the thing that we hear from a lot of these guys, which is they will tell anybody who will listen that nobody will work out like they did nowadays. So there's no point in even training them like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look around, there's some people nowadays that are training pretty darn hard. CrossFit is huge.
Sure.
And those people work out insane. I think a lot of them have mental disorders because of how hard they work out. Or the mental disorder makes them work out that hard. Yoga, same thing. People spend hours and hours doing yoga and all these crazy poses. You know, Whole Foods.
Yeah, definitely don't leave out jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
Jiu-jitsu, you go to average jiu-jitsu school, the level of physical fitness is way beyond what you see mostly in karate, unfortunately.
The average is...
Just
but
in my
your experience. And okay, nobody's 100% right. Nobody's 100% wrong. But I've been in some jiu-jitsu schools where there's a whole bunch of people that... we're not in such good shape, even though they may have thought they were. And also diet. People are paying. You got a lot of people that are eating garbage every day. And hey, I was one of them. I had a terrible diet until fairly recently. But now you've got Whole Foods, people paying attention to their diet. You've got the NSNG with Vinny Tortorich talking about no sugars, no grains, and all these different types of...
I'm sorry, man. This is my firearm going off. Can we stop it and then come back here? Can you call me back?
Yeah, man. Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialists in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber to increase metabolism, reduce fatigue, and promote faster recovery from injuries. Take their stretching course to increase flexibility and release muscle fatigue. ATAC also offers special courses in static and thermal therapy, foot therapy, and head therapy. Or try a session of ATAC's latest offering, acupuncture therapy, with their fully licensed acupuncture therapist. Want to find out more? ATAC is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Stop into their center located at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.a-tac.net. That's www.a-tac.net. Staff is fluent in English, Portuguese, Spanish, and Japanese. Sorry about that, everybody. Ezra burned his pizza.
actually, I think in the context of this conversation, it's important to state that was sweet potatoes.
Okay, a little carby,
not
but
pizza.
But it's got
not
some
pizza because I'm trying to not be fat. So
it's got some nutrients in there. But you know what I'm saying is, there's a lot of people out there that are more into fitness than ever. The CrossFit, yoga, the
yep.
attention to diet, all these different diet programs, Whole Foods in business because people are conscious about what they're eating and what they're putting into their bodies. And so I think that there are a lot of people out there that would be interested in working out as hard as these guys did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not doing all the same things, maybe working out smarter, but certainly as hard as.
Definitely, I would agree. I think that to some extent, a lot of that is question of what is like, as say, like as a sensei, as a person that has a school, what is your mission? Who are you? What are you really trying to do? Who are you trying to help? You know, are you just trying to make a lot of money and look really cool by having the best looking students? Are you trying to help people who maybe are underprivileged and, you know, don't have as much information about those kind of things, and maybe you're doing it almost from a nonprofit perspective? I think a lot of that really bears into this conversation, because there certainly would be the thing of trying to figure out how to market karate in areas like you live or where I live. Nate lives in Cincinnati in a pretty
right.
nice area, and I live in Nashville in a pretty nice area. Do you want to try to market karate to the people who already know about diet and exercise and are doing hot yoga and CrossFit and jiu-jitsu and try to get those people in the door? Or are you, you know, more interested with helping people who are not as privileged? Because that's a lot of what the whole thing comes down to in our country is right now. The more, you know, I don't want to say cultured, but like your more cosmopolitan people, you know, that say have been to college, who are more educated, have more money, some of them are probably healthier than people have ever been, as far as like all this stuff like you're talking about with, you know, CrossFit, diet, nutrition, all this. But then, you know, you go to small towns and the situation is catastrophic, where you've got little kids drinking 6 bottles of Mountain Dew every day
yeah.
with their parents, and the parents don't even know that that's bad, or like,
well,
so
I
nihilistic
I,
that they don't care, you know.
I would have to say
those are extremes, obviously.
Yeah, I think people do know it is bad to eat frozen pizza and ramen noodles every night. It is bad to eat a bunch of or drink a bunch of soda. I think people know that, but I think it is more that they don't care. And the other thing with the instructors is, I think that a lot of instructors that were, especially the ones that were at a very high fitness level, and now we're talking 20, 30, 40, 50 years after their prime, they don't necessarily want a bunch of students in their school that are in better shape than them, that that might be able to kick their ass, you know, if it really came
mm-hmm.
down to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of this.
Well, that's a truth problem then. At that point, you have a truth problem.
Yeah, but I think it's
and
out there.
And then that's the issue for the sensei at that point. And I guess that I have to say, I think that a lot of times with this, that is the central thing, is there's people are having a problem with telling the truth, either to themselves or to their students, for
yeah.
some reason
yeah.
surrounding these issues. You know, either you don't want to tell your students that they're fat and out of shape and they need to eat right and they need to work out harder.
Right.
Because you don't want to lose your students.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to make money off them, or, you know, you don't want to, you know, have people around you that maybe could kick your ass because you have a problem with the truth that way, that you're getting older and maybe people can kick your ass.
Right.
Who cares? You know, well, that's
right.
that's a truth problem. You're not, you're not telling the truth to yourself.
Right.
You know, and you're not telling the truth to the people around you. So I think that's really the question, I think, is how do we tell the truth in a way that's fair and that doesn't alienate people and that still seeks to include people and not just run people off from our dojos, but also, you know, tell them the truth and don't just sit there and, you know, keep telling some guy that's 200 pounds overweight and can't barely make it through the warm-up that he's doing great and just keep coming back and he doesn't need to change anything, you know?
Or tell yourself, you know, if you're the instructor, exactly, and you're morbidly obese and you look in the mirror and you still think you can kick everybody's ass, but you get winded during the bow-in, hey, there's an
issue
there.
Well, it's definitely one of those things where if you are that guy or girl, you have an incredible opportunity. Clearly, you're good enough at martial arts to have a group of people at whatever level that look up to you and want to train under you if you've got students. Mm-hmm. So you have an incredible opportunity at that point where you can, first off, be honest in a painful way in front of people by saying to your students, hey, guys, I want to talk to you about something. I've been really blowing it here for a long time with what I've been eating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some different mitigating circumstances with this. Maybe you had an injury. Maybe, you know, whatever. But you could get up in front of them and say, I'm taking responsibility for this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm going to cut, you know, processed carbs out of my diet. I'm not going to drink beer, you know, for a month. Yeah. And I'm going to see what happens. We're going to see how much weight do I lose. Nobody has to do this with me, but yeah, I'm doing it. And I'm taking responsibility for it that I have not been doing a good job. And I want to be a good example for you guys. And man, if you actually like go through with that, that's really cool because then your students are getting to see someone take responsibility for their mistakes, which is something that we have really are not seeing a lot of in our media stuff these days. It's a lot of people accusing other people of things, a lot of people blaming things on other people instead of saying, okay, this is wrong. And I'm going to take responsibility for this, and I'm going to, you know, change it. You know, mm-hmm. that's a hell of a thing. That definitely falls in the category, in my opinion, of making the world a better place for you, your family, and all the people around you. Which is, and if that's not your goal in the martial arts, then you're fucking up, in my opinion. Excuse my language.
Right. Well, that's true. But again, we go back to the truth problem, because the other issue that we have that we just touched on is, in a lot of places, the sensei is infallible. He is the pope of the dojo, and he cannot make a mistake. And that's a very prevalent and dangerous attitude that's out there. So that's another one.
Well, if
people
are doing that, then they're lost.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem saying that, especially since we're not even talking to anybody in specific.
No.
But if you think that, you're lost. And I don't care if you're higher ranked than me or whatever. If you're thinking that you're infallible and you're still operating on that mode in the martial arts where you cannot be questioned, you're lost. That's not good.
Yeah, and maybe we need to get into the some of the cultish things that are out there in another one. Almost the
for sure, yeah, because that's definitely
hypnotism.
That's definitely a part of the problem too, not just in karate but in martial arts in general.
Right. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Let me just talk about, you know, my own fitness goals. In the last 3 years, I've made a really concerted effort to improve my overall fitness in the martial arts. I was in okay shape. because I worked out all the time. But I, you know, I had a little more fatter on the belly than I would have liked, and I knew my diet was garbage, but I rationalized. I said, hey, I'm a fairly young guy. I work out all the time. I'll eat whatever I want and drink whatever I want, and just I'll just sweat it off. And I, you know, I guess I did okay. I wasn't obese.
I've never seen you fat.
No, but you know, I made a decision to really step it up. So I started running more. I started lifting weights. I looked at the diet, and I was eating so much sugar, I cut it out. You know, I stopped drinking soda. I'm on to the LaCroix, or actually the Hansen's, because it's cheaper than the LaCroix.
They're getting a lot of money for bubbly water there.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, and the thing I realized with the giving up the soda, because I just drank a ton of soda, was, you know, I didn't miss the sugar. I missed the carbonation. So it was actually a much easier switch than I realized. I dropped 5 pounds right away when I got off the sugar. I mean, right away. And then with all the other training, I started putting on muscle. My cardio got better, and my karate got better. I was able to work out harder and longer. My techniques got better. I was able to hit harder, and I was just better all around. And I'm glad that I made that decision, and I'm sticking with it. I mean, I think you've made similar efforts in the last couple years. I mean, haven't you?
Yeah. I've definitely changed my diet a lot. I mean, I think it's been a gradual process too, you know, over the last, really since I had a kid, I guess last 10 years, you know, when I had a kid, I still smoked cigarettes. I was a cigarette smoker, and I was still on that whole, that whole train, but I totally quit smoking cigarettes. That's been, it's been a long time now, because my daughter was 2. So I've been completely off cigarettes for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So that was big. You know, that's huge, because of course you don't have any wind, and that plays into all kinds of bad stuff there. Just gradually changed my diet. I don't use very much sugar, less processed carbohydrates, you know, more whole foods. And also, you know, something that I like to do is sort of periodic fasting, and also periodic eating really healthy, you know, because, you know, for a lot of Americans around the holidays and stuff like that, it's a big deal to you to eat some cookies or whatever like that. And it's kind of goes beyond just mouth pleasure into that something that you are doing with your family or something like that. And it can be kind of hard to get away from that. But if after that you take a month and don't eat any sugar and don't drink at all, then, you know, that has a positive effect on your body too, as far as regenerating, you know. I added, just like what you're saying, added more forms of exercise too, because I started, you know, doing grappling martial arts a lot more seriously about, I guess, almost 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, huge for me, because I'm already a landscaper and have a physical job and, you know, train and teach karate. And so then to add the grappling in had a big effect on my win, because there's nothing like moving bodies around.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Weight loss and muscle and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's definitely one thing that I have noticed in both karate and grappling martial arts is the control thing. Mm. And that's especially true with the grappling martial arts. You get these guys in there that are out of shape and fat.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid if they're like kind of good, because they really aren't in very good control of their body because they're overweight.
Yeah.
And they end up yanking on things real hard. They go to go for an arm lock, and they're not really in control of their body throughout the movement.
Yeah.
And so they end up just falling back, you know, and stretching people's arms out, knee bars, stretching people's legs out, because they're not really in control of themselves because they're overweight, but a lot of times just because they're winded.
Yeah.
And that's true in Kumite too. And I used to be that guy when I was bigger and fatter, because I've been, you know, when my kid was born, I weigh about 200 pounds now.
Yeah.
But I was up to like 250 when my kid was born. I was pretty fat. I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
And, my control sucked. I mean, my control sucked in Kumite sparring, too, because I was just sucking freaking air. You know,
right.
I was, like, operating on adrenaline. And so if you're not relaxed, you know, how good can your control really be?
Yeah.
And when you're sitting there sucking air trying to make it through sparring with people, you're not relaxed.
No.
You know? So I think that's an element, too, that's – and, you know, that may be also one of the things that's really positive to discuss about this is, you know, which was what you're saying is, like, what all good could come from this? Because I think a lot of times when people think about things like this, all they're thinking about is giving things up.
Right.
And they feel like, man, I'm already being really disciplined in my life in terms of, like, you know, I'm getting up, going to work, butt crack of dawn, you know, trying to take really good care of my kids, paying for them to go to this and that.
Right.
I'm doing all these different things. I'm going to the karate dojo.
Yeah.
And you want me to not drink beer? You know? And it's just like, well, maybe you should think of it not so much as what you're giving up, but what you could be getting.
Right.
Too, you know, because you'll, I mean, of course, one of the big things that doesn't have anything to do with karate is just feeling a lot better about how you look.
Sure.
Stuff like that, you know, I mean, that are really just purely positives. It's not, you know, in a lot of ways, it's really not giving something, you're giving up something bad.
Yeah.
Really, you're giving up feeling bad about a lot of things about yourself. And gaining, feeling really good about a lot of things. But
you know, that's absolutely true. And the other thing with the fitness and even, especially the diet, you know, it doesn't have to be strict. I think a general overall improvement in your diet is good. Who cares if you eat a little bit more turkey on Thanksgiving or you have a couple extra cookies on Christmas? As long as, in general, in your life, you're not eating a sleeve of Oreos every night. You're not drinking a six pack every night. You know,
exactly.
If you could cut back and go and start going in the right direction, I think just toning it down is going to be an improvement.
And for a lot of people who are already training in martial arts, even if they're a beginning Q rank, if you're already training in martial arts, just a little bit may be all you need. You may not need to give up all of your fun foods that you like to eat. You may just need to, you know, moderate it a little bit and see a big difference.
Right. Well, one of the things that really is good for using martial arts as exercise, unlike running or weightlifting or even playing a sport, is it's not repetitive. I could not stand going to the track and running around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And one of my problems with weightlifting is I'm going in, I'm doing the same exercise over and over and over and over, and I set it down, and I do another set over and over and over. And so it's very repetitive, and it was very boring for me when I tried doing these things earlier in my life. But in martial arts, as far as fitness, it's good because you're going in and you're getting a workout, but you're also learning something new, and you're gaining a skill, and you can see that skill improve over time. I don't know what else would be similar to that, maybe something like surfing, you know, where you're paddling out, and you're standing on the board, and it gets better as you go along. And I also feel that beginners, we had somebody start very recently that was a very fit guy. You could just tell. I mean, he would obviously worked out. He's lean, muscular. But when he was doing the basic karate workouts, he was getting tired. He was getting winded. There was techniques that he couldn't do. He couldn't hold his leg out because he hadn't done those exercises before. And I think that's true for anybody who's starting martial arts. You're going to get a good workout, and you're going to see improvements in your body and your physique over the first year, the first couple years. But like anything, any exercise you do, if you do it enough and repetitive enough, your body adapts. And all of a sudden, you're not getting the same rewards from the same workouts that you were doing at the beginning.
Sure, that's true. Mm-hmm. So things need to continue to grow as a student.
Yeah.
Even when you're the instructor, and that probably really is one of the things that happens with instructors is, you know, we get to where we can kind of handle what it is that we're teaching
right
pretty easily. It's not that challenging to us.
Right.
But, you know, what we need to be thinking about is, okay, so what is the next thing that I need to be doing to challenge myself more just to be a good example? Because, I mean, I guess that's kind of one of the things about, say, like, more like combat sports. Because let's call, like, boxing is a combat sport. Wrestling is a combat sport.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
really martial arts. I mean, to some extent, there's some overlap.
Right.
But it's very different than something like, you know, karate, where you're doing things like running kata. I mean, that has this whole, you know, just dimensions of things that you're learning from that. There's like all different kind of stuff you can be learning from that. And it really depends on you too. Like,
right.
What are you trying to learn from it? Where
right.
like, you know, boxing, that's just, it's a sport. So you go in there and you learn it. There's, you know, however many basic punches in boxing. You got a jab, you got a cross, you got a right straight, you got a left hook, you got a right hook, you got an overhand, you got a shovel hook. Mm-hmm. I mean, within the first few months, you've learned all the punches that there are to learn.
Right.
And then it's just figuring out how to use them in combination,
mm-hmm.
you know, the distance and all these different things. So obviously there's like a world of stuff you can learn about that. But the coach, the point of it, the point of the thing is to teach two people how to compete against each other in boxing. That's
right.
the point.
Right.
You may get something else out of it, but the point is just to teach two people to compete. So for the coach, you know, you totally can learn how to teach two people to compete in boxing. I mean, you don't even necessarily have had to have been a boxer
mm-hmm.
to be a pretty good boxing coach if you're just really intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, and because some, I mean, there's some people that are just super smart and they can figure out something like, you know, really complex leg locking without even really doing it that much. And they mm-hmm. can teach other people how to do it. You
yeah.
know, there's a famous guy in New York City that's kind of like that, where John Danaher, he's had hip, you know, horrible hip replacement problems and all these different kind of stuff. But he's mm-hmm. got, you know, some of the best leg lockers in the world train at his gym.
Right.
And he's just wildly intelligent and is able to teach people how to do it. Now, John Danaher's not fat either, by the way.
Right.
He's in good shape. But you know, point being, Customato did not need to have a six-pack or be a boxer to teach Mike Tyson how to
do
absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
You know, but with karate, you would sort of like to be being a light for your students. I mean, that's, I think that's, you know, an important part of the Okinawan tradition as I see it, in just my dim understanding, is
yeah.
that, you know, those guys were kind of like a beacon to their students, you
yeah.
know, traditionally. Would you say that that's true? I mean, as far
yeah.
as like, people want their sensei to be really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, a saying that I heard in Okinawa is that you had until you were 70 to build up your body. And after you reach 70, your body begins to decline. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of these older guys had that in mind. So they're, even though they're 60, they're trying to push a little bit farther to get in a little bit better shape,
yeah.
assuming that,
I think,
you know,
that's, I think that's a great attitude.
Yeah, and hey, they're the longest-lived people in the world, so they must be doing something right.
I think that that's one thing that I've thought about some in terms of just like, because, you know, part of this is just coming up with different strategies, you know, depending on what kind of school you have, because there are so many different kinds of karate schools. We're not all the same.
Yeah.
Even across styles, we have different kinds of schools. You know, one
right.
school, their focus might be more like a Budo type focus. You know, another school, you know, their focus might be really doing Okinawan type karate and the whole cultural thing behind that. Another school might, the theme might be karate competition. Another school, the theme might be karate competition or karate techniques for MMA. You know, like, how does this fit into that framework?
Yeah.
You know, so depending on what your school is like, then there's different things that you can do to you know, push the health aspect of it. I mean, one thing is if you're, you know, a guy like yourself or like, say, maybe like Mr. Stoltzmark, one of those guys who's like really been to Okinawa a lot.
Yeah.
Well, teach people about why is it that people in Okinawa live so long?
Right.
You know, like, share that stuff with the students of like, this is some of the things that they eat.
Yeah.
Gardening is a really big deal. you know, the grandmothers all do different things with the grandchildren, or you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, different things like that that you hear about. I mean,
sure,
that's a great thing to bring to it, you know, where maybe if you're more of a competition type school, then it may be more stuff like, you know, more modern American type look at it, like this is what the paleo diet is, or
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. Like, these are some, you know, some of these fighters that you're seeing on TV, this is what they're eating these days, you know,
right,
that type of deal. So that way, whatever it is that your kind of framework or niche is, you're, you know, encouraging the students in that way.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like it like we all should, you know, even if we're not in perfect shape, it's something we should be sharing with the students, you know, that like, hey, drink, you know, there's, we're not drinking sodas at the dojo, stuff like that, you
right.
know, like, there's no, you know, there's no candy in the dojo, you
right.
know, and not being mean to anybody about it, but just
yeah,
trying to set a good example for, especially if there's kids.
Yeah.
This is Mike Tarvin of Tarvin Plumbing Company. You may have heard me answering questions as a plumbing expert on the Gary Sullivan Show over the years. I'm here today to make you aware of our company. We perform plumbing repairs of all types. We've been in business since 1907 through five generations of family members. That's 109 years of providing top quality workmanship and outstanding service. If you're having issues with leaks, stoppages, water heaters, fixtures, or piping, we're here to help. Spring rains may be taking a toll on your sump pump. To help out, ask us about our summer sump pump special. We can inspect the existing pump and replace it if necessary for a special summer price. We can also inspect or add a battery backup and other devices for extra security to keep you high and dry. We offer you peace of mind for your plumbing system with reliable, trustworthy service backed by years of experience. Tarvin Plumbing is a Cincinnati company with an appreciation of the wide range of plumbing challenges this city offers. So if you or someone you know has a need for plumbing repairs of any type, please think of us at Tarvin Plumbing. You can reach us at tarvinplumbing.com. That's tarvinplumbing.com. Thank you.
You know, yeah, in Okinawa, they're, all the guys, most of the guys, have very good diets. They're eating, you know, goya, the vegetable there. There's a little bit of rice. There's fish. It's generally a very clean, less greasy, less oily diet, and that definitely goes along to help. You know, and the other thing I would suggest that the people, if you're a beginner, just go and work out hard. You're going to get in better shape, and you're going to see the improvements. If you've been in for
yep.
a year or two, or you know, 20 years like or more, like you and I, find other things to supplement your workout. You know, so the one, you know, I started lifting weights right away. Hey, you want to look like Bruce Lee? Guess what Bruce Lee did? Just as much as his karate, he lifted weights.
Oh yeah, buddy.
He had a very intense weight routine. He was jogging, you know, start jogging. When I started bringing jogging back into my routine, growing up through high school, even into college, I played soccer. I played hockey. So I was running and getting aerobic exercise quite a bit. But over the last few years, when I was living in Okinawa, I may have had to walk everywhere, but I didn't run anywhere. And when I moved back here to Cincinnati, I wasn't running. The first couple times I went to try jogging, which I hadn't done for a couple years, I was shocked. I mean, I was winded. I was weak.
Yep.
And I realized, my God, that's no good. And I've got to do something about it. And so now it's part mm-hmm. of my regular workout routine. Swimming is another good one. I am not going to run. It is freaking cold outside. I hate the cold. I am built for tropical weather. But there's one of the colleges nearby has a gym where you can go for open swim. It's like $5 or $10. That's great.
Yeah.
I can go do that.
There you go.
Even in your, you know, even in your regular workouts, vary them up a little bit, you know, do sparring a whole
yep.
class. Try doing some different drills that aren't part of the regular routine. You know, anytime I go to somebody else's school and work out, when I go down and work out with you guys or anybody else, even if we're the same style, the workout routine's a little bit different. And all of a sudden you're working different
oh, yeah.
muscles and different levels. And you're going to find an improvement there just by working a little variety.
Yeah, because there really is no, there's no king of all that, and that's
something
I think is really interesting thing to discover in martial arts, that like the cardio that you have from doing form sparring does not prepare you to do like the pummeling drill, mm-hmm. full contact, mm-hmm. and vice versa.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the fact that you can roll around on the mat with somebody and not get tired for 15 minutes does not mean that you can do stand up fighting. And, right. and with, you know, it's like a totally different ball game.
Right.
Even the difference between like karate, kumite, endurance, and like hitting the pads for like a boxing workout.
Yeah.
Totally different. It's
yeah.
totally different. It's not the same at all.
Right.
And just the fact that you can do one of them. So the more of these things that you do, the better. And that's not to say that people shouldn't pick one thing and try to get real good at it.
No,
absolutely. That's great. But it's really good to mix all this stuff up, you know, and you
yeah.
and I were both, are both fortunate to come from dojos where that was happening.
Right.
You know, where they were mixing stuff up, and you know, just because it's a karate school doesn't mean you never put boxing gloves on, you know,
right.
Doesn't mean that you don't ever get on the mat.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's one thing that you see that to some extent in karate styles that are very classical. And I'm not saying that that's not a wonderful thing and that they shouldn't focus a lot of their energy on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just doing one specific styles kata over and over and over again. And
yeah.
that's kind of all you're doing in there. Well, that's fine. If that's all you want to do in your dojo is that, but encourage people to do other things outside of the dojo then.
Yeah.
You know, say, this is what we do in here, but have you ever been to a boxing gym? Have you ever been swimming? Have you ever, you know,
yeah.
done any of these, you know, have you ever done Olympic weightlifting? You know, because you're really not doing people a favor when you, well, you're lying if you tell someone that they're going to run kata and then they're going to have all these attributes.
Right.
They're not.
No, they're not.
That's not true. So.
They're not.
And that's kind of part of the thing of just, and I feel like really we're on the road to just dispelling a lot of that. I feel like a lot of the people who are still really into the cult thing, I feel like it's on the way out.
I think
it's just
so.
It's harder
also.
To lie to people, I think. With the, you know,
that's true because all of a sudden there's YouTube, there's Wikipedia, there's the internet, there's libraries, and you can't give somebody some smoke and hokum spiel about something anymore because they're going to go to the internet and look it up. Now the problem is that also goes too far, which is I got
it does
yes because I got people. You know, in the dojo that come to me and say, hey, I was looking this up on YouTube and that up on YouTube. And I'm like, hey, man, you haven't been to class in 3 weeks. Why don't you come in here
yeah,
and work
exactly.
on the stuff that you're supposed to work on? And then they'll look it up later.
One of the biggest things I think that's a loss with that, and that I've talked to a number of older sensei that I have been privileged to get to talk to about it, and they have agreed, is it used to be, you know, if Sensei Mike and Sensei Rick went and learned a kata from, say, Mr. Yarnell,
mm-hmm.
and they drove down there to St. Louis, because that's how you could do it. He couldn't send you something on Dropbox. You had to go down there. They'd drive down there. So first off, you're making this big effort
yes.
to go somewhere to learn something. So when you make this effort and you go there and you learn it, and then you're not taping it.
Right.
You're not, you know, I mean, there's no photos of it. It's just they taught you the form or whatever, then when you would get done with that, you would immediately either stay in their dojo or you would go to the park or you would immediately go right back to your school and you would run that kata a bunch of times. Because
yeah.
if you didn't remember it, then, or combination or whatever it was, sparring
yeah.
technique, if you didn't really hammer it in there, it's gone.
Right.
You know, so you can't just go, you know, go to class, somebody, you know, shows you how to do this kata, and you don't really even worry about it because you're like, well, you know, I can just look that up on YouTube. I'm pretty sure old Sensei so-and-so's got a YouTube video on that kata.
Right.
Well, you're really losing something there. You're losing...
Yeah, absolutely.
Really an experience.
Right.
You're, you know, thinking that you've, oh, well, I've got that. That's on there, you know. And God forbid any of that stuff ever goes away for whatever reason, then the material is just completely lost.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of the reason that katas were, you know, invented or whatever in the first place, I would imagine, is to be able to hold on to the damn knowledge, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, get burned and rot and go away, but, you know.
Right. I mean, just even in Okinawa, you know, World War II, Naha was destroyed. Yep. Everything was burned. I mean, it was gone.
Yep. People died. A lot of people.
Yeah, and
a lot of karate people died in World War II.
Yeah, and anything that was left, I mean, I think maybe they found a couple of books that were, you know, up in Tokyo or something, but there was almost everything else was gone, and it had to be, for the most part, rebuilt from the people that were still alive. They could, you know, write it down again from memory or practice it. Another thing that, you know, I was also always afraid that I spent so much time training in karate, the katas and the combinations and the techniques, and just trying to get the techniques just so perfect and get them down and on over and over and over again. You know, I was afraid of taking any time out to do the weightlifting and the running, because I thought, well, if I just run my kata more, or if I work on this combination, or if I get this joint locked down just right, I'm going to have more improvement there. So another thing that I've been experimenting with in the last few years is doing what, you know, what people generally call now Hojo Undo, which is the weightlifting and exercise regimen that originally went with karate, where you're lifting rocks or you know, the leverage bars or the iron sandals,
yeah,
or punching the makiwara.
Yeah, and there's a lot more information about that these days too, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
With the DVDs and stuff like that, as you can go on, the Higona one is probably the best.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best version of the exercises necessarily, but it's the best like DVD about it that has the most complete
right
kind of thing of it. He's got it all in there. He's got the makiwara, he's got the chi-ishi, he's got the sandals, he's got, you know, I mean, his enormous rock,
right,
all that, and plus a bunch of different just supplementary exercises that they do in that version of Goju-Ryu.
Right.
Just if people are interested in that. That one actually, it's worth the $40 as far as the martial arts DVD, as far as how much is covered in it, you know?
Absolutely. And I will say that those exercises with those implements, I mean, there's certain movements, there's certain muscles that are worked that aren't worked with your traditional weightlifting equipment or with a punching bag.
Yep.
And it's really good to for a martial artist to explore things. And that will help your punches. That will help your kicks and your karate get better, because those implements were all developed with karate. But for whatever reason, very few of them made the jump to Japan, and even fewer of those made the jump to the U.S. But it's something that's available now. The info is out there, and I think people should play with it.
Yep, because it's definitely worth something, you know.
Hey, everybody, Nate here. I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors, and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debut. So, overall here, I think that I don't want to throw anybody under the bus for not working out hard enough. The older guys, and you tell me yes or no if you agree, the older guys, if you're 70 years old and you just had a hip and knee, if you had a hip and knee replacement and you had a bunch of ribs smashed in the 60s and a bunch of concussions, we don't expect you to be in top shape.
Hell no. And that's something too that, you know, we all need to cut everybody else some slack, and ourselves some slack too. Cause a lot of us, we'll get to be being way too hard on ourselves and other people.
Yeah.
It's a balance, you know, and that's something that like in Shuri-Ryu, but you know, our listeners may be lots of different styles of martial arts, but you guys,
sure.
You know, me and you are both shooter guys.
Right.
We have harmonized hard and soft.
Right.
And that's something that I always tell people when they start at my school is the most important way to harmonize hard and soft as a student is with yourself in terms of how you're talking to yourself. You see frequently people, they come in the dojo, you're trying to show them how to do something, and they spend half the time beating themselves up. Oh man, I did it wrong. Oh, and they're like making little noises and making faces, and you can tell they're just so frustrated with their stuff that they're not doing it right, mm-hmm. you know? And I always tell them, you can't just let yourself off the hook. You have to be, you know, strong with yourself and say like, okay, we're not going to quit here. We're going to keep doing this till we get it right.
Right.
But you also have to tell yourself, hey, you're doing a great job by being there. You're doing a great job by keeping on trying, you know?
Right.
Even if it seems like maybe it's harder for you than it is for some of the other people, harmonize hard and soft. Recognize that you're doing a good thing by being in there, but also take it easier on yourself and don't beat yourself up too bad. And I think that that's got to be true for the diet thing too.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta make yourself do it, but you also got to cut yourself a damn break, you know?
Right.
And if you blow it and eat a candy bar or something, well, you're not a piece of shit. Don't kill yourself. You're okay. You know?
I've got a Tupperware container full of grandma's cookies. Well, now it's halfway full of grandma's cookies, but I didn't eat them in one day. I have, you know, one every
there you
now
go.
And then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
And, okay. So now, if you are an instructor, even if you are one of these old grizzled veterans that have seen everything, you know, keep in mind that you're an example to everybody in your dojo. And make sure that they understand that the reason that you're not in top shape is, hey, you're 70 and you got a bum hip. That's no reason that they shouldn't pay attention to their diet, and there's
that's the big thing is, you know, for those guys to still encourage people to be in good shape, but also for us younger guys to realize too that like we don't know what it feels like to have you know, multiple screwed up vertebrae or something and not be able to really move around that well. So, you know, I also should not be standing in judgment of someone who has done a lot of stuff that I have not ever even done.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, in pain because of that, you know.
So let's not expect these guys to do the things you know, that we can do in our 20s and 30s when they're in their, you know, 50s and 60s. And also make sure to encourage the people, you know, don't drive people out of your dojo because they're in better shape than you. Help to encourage them. For anybody who's starting out, work out hard. You know, you're going to see improvements in your physique, in your health from just working out in martial arts if you're a beginner. If you're already an athlete, if you're already coming in from a different sport activity, or if you're coming in from nowhere at all, just work out hard at the beginning. But when you start to level off and you start to, you know, hit that plateau, find other things to push your training. Maybe it's a different routine. Maybe it's supplementing with one of these other techniques. You know, even if you are an older student, you have an injury, you know, try to improve. Try to get in better health. One of the guys in the Joe class I was in Japan, he had two knee replacements, hip replacement, an elbow, and one or both shoulders. Because when he was a younger man, he was the Okinawan judo champion, and he was a karate master, and he did all these things. But now he was 75 years old, and he was using judo as rehabilitation to keep his joints moving.
That's something that I just sorry to interrupt you, but I think that that's really something that a lot of people don't know about karate that are in other martial arts, especially like combat sports,
mm-hmm.
is I think a lot of people who are in combat sports, they look at stuff like kata and they think, well, that's not going to help me you know, win this fight or something, you know? And that may be true, that it doesn't necessarily have a place in their camp getting ready for a, you know, full contact kickboxing match or something. It probably doesn't, you know, probably shouldn't drop everything you're doing and learn Wonsu. You should probably keep doing whatever your coach says in camp.
If you got a fight coming up,
But there is like a lot of really cool and unique physical benefits you get out of kata, especially in terms of longevity.
Right.
Because it's this thing that you can connect with on a whole lot of different levels. You can run kata the way that Sensei Walker or Sensei McLean had us run them when we were first starting out and younger guys, where you're in this big, huge stance. You're running as hard as you can, as fast as you can. It's a phenomenal workout in that way. Focus, all these different things. But then you also can, you know, continue to do this until you're like 90 years old. If you can sit in a chair, there's katas you can run.
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the things that's really neat about karate, is it gives people, you know, you're not going to be on the mat doing full contact jiu-jitsu until you're 90. You may still be on the mat doing something, but it's not going to be like what you're doing when you're 29.
Right. And but it's
things,
okay.
You really can get a lot out of them in the long haul. Right. You know?
And it's okay for your training to change over time. You don't have to train the same way you did on your first day of class. It can evolve. You know, depending on, you know, I've gone in and I've got a pulled muscle. I've got a broken arm. And I'm going to train differently on that day than I am on a day where I'm completely healthy. It doesn't have to be the same all the time. You can modify it. And even with kata, you know, I mentioned Jodo as sort of slower, less impact rehabilitation. But Tai Chi, people, including me, have made, it's just some, you know, old ladies moving around slow motion in the park. Well, hey, at least those old ladies are moving around. There's a whole bunch of other old ladies that are, you know, growing into their sofas. And you can run your kata the same way. When I've been hurt, there's a couple times I've been really hurt, some involving karate, some not involving karate, where if you just walk through the motion, just very slowly, you don't have to tense up and go to a third level kibidachi and, you know, ki for 15 seconds, just do the movements. and it's okay. And then, you know, I would encourage, you know, when I started my fitness kick, whenever it was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, my goal was to be in the condition of a professional athlete for traditional karate. Now, I have, I did not know then, and I'm still not 100% sure what the hell that means, because I'm not going to a bunch of tournaments. I'm running kata, I'm sparring, I'm doing all these different things, but I'm in better shape now, and I think I'm a better representative of karate now than I was before I started all this. So I would encourage, if you're young enough, everybody just work on improvement. Whatever it is, whatever level you're at, work on improvement. And, you know, if you're in a position, you know, a guy like me or Ezra, see how far you can take it. You might be surprised. If you get into this, you might wind up looking like Bruce Lee. You know?
Yeah, it's possible. Yep.
So, but you're only going to get there by continuing to push it and continuing to work out.
Harmonize hard and soft.
Good. All right. So did we solve the world's problems today? Did we get to any of them?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we solved most of them.
Yeah, that's it. Let's make sure Putin gets a copy of this. You know, he's a judo guy. He might be into it.
That's right. That's right. I'll call Kim Jong, whatever his name is, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's probably into Taekwondo.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate you being on the show. And we'll have to do another one of these. I got a bunch of other things that are on my mind, and I want to kind of work them out.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. I had a good time. I look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks again to Ezra Scott from James McLean's Kosho School of Karate for joining me. If you want to learn more about Ezra and his school, please visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. For info on the NSNG diet and Vinny Tortorich, check out www.vinnietortorich.com. Vinny has put together a great packet that introduces you to his diet plan, or actually he wouldn't call it a diet plan, he'd call it a lifestyle. Also, Vinny has a podcast called Fitness Confidential, and he's very approachable on Twitter and also does phone consultations. I did one of these consults last year and got a lot out of it. And you talk directly to Vinny. Ezra also brought up the paleo diet, and the best source for info on that seems to be, this is all the name of the website, thepaleodiet.com. For info on Hojo Undo, or Rinshukigu, as Choki Motobu called it, and other traditional karate weight training, there are quite a few good sources out there, and there seems to be more all the time. Michael Clark has a book, The Art of Hojo Undo, that has a lot of the history, instructions on constructing your own equipment, and also a few of the basic exercises. You can probably find the book on Amazon. You can check out Morio Higaonna's DVDs, and they might even be on YouTube now. A lot of these old karate videos are now on YouTube. And I know I always talk shit about learning karate from YouTube, but if Higaonna is in the video, it's safe to say that it's legit. Also, our sponsor, Kosho Martial Arts Equipment, is coming out with a few short videos showing some of these basic exercises and drills. I'm not sure when they'll be released, but I know they're on the way because I'm in them. As always, wherever you listen to the show, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. And also be sure to check out the new Chop Talk Twitter account. Thanks for listening. Nihei Dibiru and Mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Chop Talk is brought to you by the Kosho School of Karate's premium martial arts training equipment. Frustrated with the low quality of the big manufacturers, the hassle and expense of custom-made equipment, or the months-long delivery times offered by the Japanese brands, if your order ever arrives at all? Kosho offers makiwara, iron sandals, specialty punching bags, and other premium martial arts training equipment, all at great prices and great delivery times. Kosho equipment is guaranteed to be high quality and heavy duty, exactly what serious traditional martial artists demand. Contact the Kosho School of Karate for more information. Go to www.koshoequip.com or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. Kosho, premium martial arts training equipment for the serious martial artist.